research it a little bit.
But I got to reading this yesterday, and I tell you, this kind of, I ain't putting no sermon together on it or nothing, but in Colossians, in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, talking about being redeemed there, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, yes, even the forgiveness of sins.
Yes. Yeah.
Aren't you glad that we've been redeemed,
hallelujah,
by the blood of, amen, Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sin?
Right, yeah.
What can wash away my blood? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Right, amen.
What can make me whole again?
Yeah.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you, right, thankful for,
yes,
for the blood of Jesus shed for you and I? Somebody said, I don't really like a bloody doctor, you know, always hearing about blood, blood, blood. Well, I tell you what, you'll never get to heaven then, because that price was paid with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
And all through the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves and all sorts of animals had to be shed for the remission of sin, but it was just a covering of what was to come.
Right.
But when Jesus Christ came, amen,
yes,
he doesn't have to die every year like they had to slay animals every year. It, right, it was enough, amen,
right,
to suffice the Father, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. But here's what I like. I'd like to pass by here, and then we'll have prayer requests. But it said, who is, he goes on down there, and he said, but who is the image of the invisible God? Talking about Christ, who gave his blood, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, I didn't know this. I'm probably going to preach on this in the future. The firstborn of every creature. And I don't know if you've got a date Bible, but date, it got very interesting, listed 10 or 12 times that the invisible God was made visible.
Yeah.
Woo, hallelujah. And look here, it said, even the forgiveness of, who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ is the image of God. Amen.
Right.
When Jesus was on the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Woo, he was the image of God, wasn't he?
Yes.
Praise God. And Dake, I don't have my Dake Bible with me, but Dake listed 10 or 12 times that God was, the invisible God was made visible to man.
Oh.
And he went all the way back to Abraham in the book of Genesis. Abraham ate with God. Amen.
Yeah,
yeah, I looked several of them up. I didn't look all 10 or 12 of them up, but the first 5 or 6, I looked them up, and I was studying there while I was trying to read to Weston, help him do school yesterday. And I'd read to him a while, and I'd read the Bible a while. And praise God. What about Jacob? Amen. When Jacob wrestled with that angel, he thought he was wrestling with an angel. And then later on in there, amen, we find that he got a hold of the Lord. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. I tell you, God's got a way of making himself visible to us, doesn't he?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. I've never seen God in a bodily form. I believe that the Bible said that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I've never seen God in a bodily form, but I tell you what, I have sure seen his spirit. Have you?
Glory to God.
I grew up back in the hills of West Virginia where they talk a lot different than they do in the city. Amen. But here's the kind of stuff that they used to say back home where I come from. They'd say, man, the spirit of God was so thick in the house the other night, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
Woo, amen. That's the kind of stuff they said where I come from. And I remember seeing the spirit of God in the house of God so thick, you could cut it with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
Woo, hallelujah. I remember one time we was having church, and one of the few times this has ever happened to me in my life, I've probably seen this a couple of times, but the glory of God got so strong in that place. Amen. Remember when Solomon dedicated the temple, and the Bible said that that the glory of God settled in that place like a cloud. Amen. And I have seen God's spirit a time or two in my life. I've seen it come down in the house, and I saw it as though it was a cloud.
Right.
Praise God. I don't know about you, but I long for that. Don't you? Amen. Great God in heaven. I tell you, go to McDonald's. I asked somebody, my dad told me the other day, he said, have you had that chicken sandwich Big Mac yet? I said, no. What are you talking about? He said, McDonald's has, instead of hamburgers, it's chicken patties. Amen. A Big Mac with chickens, that don't even sound good to me. I don't want to ruin a good piece of chicken. Amen. But if you go to McDonald's, Brother George, you know what you expect to see people eating? Hamburgers and fries. Amen.
Yeah, right.
At Burger King, you expect to see people eating a Whopper. Amen.
Yeah.
And some fries. Maybe go to the pizza place.
Come on,
and you expect them to see them eating pizza. Praise God. But I tell you what, when we go to the house of God, it ought to be common ground that we go to his house to see his presence. Amen. To feel his presence, to get in the midst of an almighty God. Thank God you got your Sunday best on. Amen. I'm glad you took a shower. I'm glad everybody dressed up. And here we are. But this ain't a social gathering. This is a place that we can get in the presence of an almighty God. And the invisible God becomes visible. Amen. Hallelujah. I said the invisible God becomes visible. And he gets in the house. And I tell you, you can leave different when you leave than when you came. Can't you? Glory to God.
Yes,
who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hallelujah. Somebody said, amen, and right here is a pretty deep subject. I got to look at this a while ago. This is very deep. The firstborn of every creature. Let me tell you something. Jesus was not. This is very important to what we believe in our relationship with God. Jesus Christ was not created.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Some people thinks he's the first creation of God. Amen. Because he said the firstborn. You look that up in the book of Psalms. Amen. David called Solomon his firstborn. I never noticed this. David called Solomon his firstborn. And Solomon was way down the line. I don't know how many sons David had before he ever had Solomon. So I looked at it and it got intriguing in me, Brother Tom, and he called him his firstborn because Solomon was where? The glory line. Amen. Solomon, praise God. David had son after son after son, but he said, Solomon is my firstborn. He's got the glory of God on him. Amen. He's got the calling on him. He's got the anointing on him. And God said that Jesus is the firstborn. He's got the glory on him. Amen. The invisible became visible when I breathed on my son. And he's got the glory. Thank God that our church, we got a God that can become visible. Amen. I said, we got a God. He's not afar off. He's not floating around somewhere in the eons of eternity. He can come right now. Did you hear me? I said, he can come right now. All you got to do is call on him. All you got to do is believe on him. All you got to do is want to touch him. All you got to do is expect him to come in the house. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God.
I want him to come in the house, don't you?
Come on in.
Oh, God.
That's right.
A couple more minutes, I'm done. I just want to leave you this.
Bless you.
It's got to bubble up in my heart.
Obey God.
The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There wasn't nothing in this world that was created that was not created by him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Amen. They talk about the Grand Canyon was carved throughout millions of time. And I understand there's a debate on old earth and young earth. I guess I was probably always a young earth, but maybe I'm somewhere in the middle now. I don't know. I don't know that the earth has been around for billions of years, but it's probably been around for a lot more than 6,000 or 8,000 years that we previously thought. Amen. How long did it take that river to carve out over out there in Grand Canyon? I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. It might have took a long time. I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is God can do anything he wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And if God created everything, I preached that. Amen. Last Sunday, the Holy Ghost got on me. Amen. And I preached a little bit about heaven. Amen. Oh, great God. And let me tell you something. God made everything that you see in your eyes. He made the seven wonders of the world. He made all the beautiful places. Amen. I mean, he made everything beautiful that man's ever seen. He made all that 6 days. And he rested on the seventh. Hallelujah. But he told us in John 14, I'm going away to prepare a place. And when I go away to prepare that place, and when I come again, he said, I will receive you again unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he made this place in 6 days and rested on the seventh. He's been gone longer than 2,000 years. Why does the Bible not tell us much about heaven? I'll tell you why. Our eyes can't fathom. Amen. Our hearts can't understand. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither hath entered into the hearts of man what God hath things for. And the case of church, that invisible God will be visible one day. I said that invisible God one day will be visible. When I can look at his eyes and I can look at his face and God, that can become visible, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For by him,
bless you, God,
we're all things created.
Hallelujah.
That are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible.
Right.
Uh-huh. He made it all.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I said he made it all.
Right.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers,
yeah,
all things were created by him and for him.
Yeah.
Not only did he make it, he made it for him.
Yeah.
Everything in this world was made to glorify God, including you.
Yeah.
The birds wake up, Brother George. How many times have you been sitting in the woods when the sun peeked over that mountain? You don't got to ask the birds to praise the Lord. As soon as that sun peeps over that hill, the squirrels get up a squawking, the birds get up a chirping, the deer get up and say, thank you, Lord. I said, all creation begins to praise him for another day alive. Hey, church, he made you to worship. I said, he made you to worship. And you better get ready, because in that land, we're going to worship throughout all of eternity. I said, we're going to worship throughout all of eternity. Get ready, church, that invisible God will be visible. Great God, what is that?
Yes, God.
And he can become visible right now.
Right now. Yes, God.
No wonder Paul said we see through a glass darkly.
Uh-huh.
But one day, face to face. I think it was Trump that said, and I've heard this before, but I think Trump said, talk about the brilliance of men. And man is pretty brilliant. We sent men to the moon. We sent, what do you call these new things, satellites, and even greater than that, I forget. They send all these things into space. Amen, transmitters. And it gives us data and all kinds of things. Man is trying to figure all that, and they have figured out quite a bit. You look at the modern day technology, the iPhone, the Android phone, you can send a message to somebody halfway around the world, and China can get it in a second, amen, or a millisecond. They can get that. That's how smart man is. But even scientists will tell you that man really only operates on about 1 to 2% of his brain.
Hallelujah.
Hey, and the brilliant people say, if we can get to 3% of brain power, it'd be hard to tell what men can do. And it takes some church, that's the brain of a man. Oh, can you imagine how magnificent God is? And he ain't operating on 1 or 2%. He's operating on full capacity. I said he's operating on full capacity. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I try to tell somebody, you can't trust him and in that invisible God. He's sitting high and he's looking low. He knows everything from the front to the back, from this side to this side. I said God knows everything.
Hallelujah.
Won't you raise your hand and praise him like he deserves? Won't you raise your hand and worship him like he really deserves around here today?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everything that was created was created by him and for him. You were created for God.
Amen.
Yes, brother.
Oh,
yes.
And when man gets in a backslidden, sinful, fallen condition,
amen,
he's out of the will of God.
Amen.
Speaking of the unseen.
Come on.
Michael Larry tells Brother George years ago, you know, preachers, I guess that's their number one thing that bothers them. They pray about and get troubled over. Am I in the will of God? Am I in the will of God? Michael Larry struggled around up there for years in Gilbert. It done my heart good, Brother David. It seemed a couple Sundays ago, I went up there to his pastor appreciation Man, that church was full. I had never seen that church full. That church was slap dab full. It's probably about this size, or it's maybe a shade smaller. But I'm telling you, it was almost standing room only. It done my heart so good. But I tell you, I remember the days when Uncle Larry used to tell us, hey, it was praying and it was fasting, and it was seeking the Lord God, am I really in your will? And all I got's my family here. All we got's the same old ones that's been here for 10, 20 years. Hey, amen. We can't get no new people, can't get no visitors. We don't seem to be growing. Am I really in your will? And he really prayed and got serious about it with God. And he said, God, he was church like, God, if I'm really in your will, and you really want me to keep doing, hey, amen, what I'm doing, send a visitor in. That doesn't sound hard for the God of the universe to do, does it?
Right.
To send a visitor, walk in the door. Hey, amen, about 5 minutes after, his heart got to beat, no visitor. About 10 minutes after church started, no visitor. And the devil got on his back and said, see there, you've wasted your time. God doesn't even want you here. Amen. You're out of the will of God. And my Uncle Larry said, about that time, the back door opened. And in walked a man. And you got to thank Gilbert. Says little. A matter of fact, I Googled it this morning. Gilbert has 333 people in the town of Gilbert. Amen. Very little town. Everybody knows everybody. Praise God. And he said, my Uncle Larry said, I've never seen that man. In all my life, I've never seen that man. I don't know why I'm saying all this. David, I still want you to preach. I really do. We preach good preachers all the time. Amen. But Brother Tom, in come this man, he walked. My Uncle Larry said, I got to get back there. They finished him singing. I got to get back there and shake his hand. And he said, and he got busy worshiping. And he getting ready to go back there. And he looked at that guy who had been there 5 to 10 minutes. Amen. He just asked for God to send a visitor. That's all he asked. And that man walked in. And his heart swelled. He said, God, I must be in your will. He's getting ready to go back and shake his hand. And he said, see you, get up. And he walked out the back door. You have to know, I grew up in that church. And when you go out that door, it's open. Railroad tracks here, a road here. I mean, and my Uncle Larry said, I walked out the door right after that man. He walked out the door, and it wasn't 5-10 seconds later. I walked out the door. And he said, I went out there, and there wasn't a soul in the parking lot. There wasn't a soul in the railroad track. There wasn't a car pulling out. I looked up and down both sides of the. He said, I tell you what God did. The invisible God showed up. And it came in that service that morning. Come to tell you, church, God can show up. The invisible God can make yourself real. I said
he
can make yourself visible.
Woo! Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I told that to Brother Randy yesterday. Randy calls me almost every day of my life. I told that to Brother Randy yesterday. He said, let me tell you one. I said, tell me. He got the King Mountain Brothers. That's what they call themselves. They're a singing group in his church, good holders people. And old Brother Mike Compton, some of you probably heard him sing. He's a real good singer, sings bluegrass style, really. He kind of sings through his nose. But old Brother Mike Compton, he said, tells his story from time to time. And he said, I thought it was Brother Mike's grandpa. I know Brother Mike well. Hey, man, his grandpa was a drunkard. His grandpa was a sinner on his way to hell. And his way back, I thought he said, back on Jewel Ridge. I know where that is. I mean, you're talking about the middle of nowhere. I mean, that's in the middle of nowhere, way back on them cold mountain ridges. And he said he stopped. Hey, man, he is drunk. He is on his way home. And there's a man side the road. And he stopped and he picked him up. That's back when folks give folks a ride. He can't do that today. You might end up dead. But he stopped and picked that old fella up. And he said that man got in the car. And he got the zero in the end. But I saw. And he knew his name. And he said, hey, call his name. Mr. Cummins. He said, you need to get saved. You need to quit this drinking and this carousing. Hey, man, your days will be numbered. You better quit. And he zeroed in on him. Amen. And got him nervous. And finally the man said, I've rode long enough. Amen. Let me out right here. And he said, I can't let you out here. They ain't a house 3 or 4 miles from here. I can't let you. He said, I rode far enough. Let me out. Amen. And Brother Mike Compton said, his grandpa said that when he let him out, he looked in his rear view mirror as he pulled off, and a man was standing in the road, and then a man wasn't standing in the road, and that man vanished. He said, I went as fast as I could.
Praise the Lord.
Matter of fact, Brother George, Brother Randy told me, he said, I told that story at that old man's funeral. He lived for years. He said, they asked me to preach his funeral.
Come on.
He said, I preached his funeral. He said, I told that story, how that he used to be a drunkard, how that he used to be a man that crowds and ran, and it was away from God. And he said, one of his granddaughters got mad at me and said, you told the wrong, that's the wrong grandpa. Amen. She said, that wasn't my grandpa. I never seen my grandpa cuss. I never seen my grandpa drink. I never seen my grandpa do no such a thing as that. And Brother Randy said, I know you didn't. This was years ago. He didn't do that after he was born. Why? Because the invisible God became visible and changed that old man. And I feel like God once again inside of somebody on a Sunday afternoon and changed somebody, and changed a heart, and changed a life. The invisible God, I said it once again, in the midst, and help you today.
Hallelujah.
I got no notes, I ain't got nothing.
Hold on,
just had that on my heart.
Come on.
Amen. Won't you slip your hand to heaven? That's got just a minute, give me a little song up here for amen.
Come on, brother.
How many of you like to meet that invisible God?
Yes.
How many of you like for that invisible God to become visible?
Yes, God.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Holy Lord.
While she plays and sings, I'm not even calling her an order. I really am. I just feel like somebody needs to worship him. Amen. I feel like somebody needs to say, God, I've been looking at everything else besides that invisible God. I'm down with that. Why don't you give him up? Why don't you operate on his paper?